Good morning, everyone. Welcome to you. It's good to see you and to welcome you here to the sanctuary. We also welcome those who are joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or week. I'm very mindful that a number of our older people are no longer able to come and be with us in the church itself, but it's a great blessing to know that you're able to join us online. And we send to you in your own home our love and our very best wishes. Let us worship God. We sing the hymn 61, hymn 61, verses 1 to 4 and verse 7. Verses 1 to 4 and verse 7 of hymn 61, being Psalm 98. O sing a new song to the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Father, we come before you today in the reassurance of the resurrection. Year after year, after Holy Week and Easter weekend, we indulge further into a relationship with you and the sacrifices your Son made for us. We thank you for all the days we have felt shaken, when we have been filled with anger and distress, when we've been sinking into the abyss, the tears we shed at nightfall. We must ask, do we deserve you? Do we deserve your almighty presence in our lives? Do we deserve to feel secure in your arms? Father God, we understand we sin against you in our day-to-day lives in ways we cannot express or are too afraid to say. From the first man and woman on earth, we have followed their example in more ways than we let on. Sinful practices we have endorsed in our own lives. Lord, be my helper. But we thank you for allowing this moment to open ourselves to you. And we thank you for your Son. The inspiration and love we have seen through Jesus and you gives us the boost to proclaim the goodness of your wisdom. As we continue our worship today, as we devote this time to be thankful for your magical presence, be with our friends who are full of anxiety, that are struggling with complications in their lives. Be with them, God, as they develop their sense of call to you. Let your hands be at work. Let us know the rejoicing comes in the morning through our faith in you. We come together as one. As your children, we pray with our own thoughts, with our own individual reflections, as we recite that prayer which Christ Jesus taught us to say together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, David. Just a few notices to draw to your attention. Startup Stirling would welcome our support at this time. And you'll find information about what food items and cleaning materials they're looking for on the Startup website. And you'll find the link to that also on the church's website too. And there are donation stations in most supermarkets, including Lidl here in St. Ninian. So if you're able to support Startup in any way, that would be greatly appreciated. An ecumenical service organised by Stirling Tesey Group will be held in the church a week on Friday evening at 7:30, and all will be most welcome. And finally, articles for the summer edition of The Parishioner should be submitted by the 12th of May. The summer edition. Where is this year going? And let us hope and pray that the weather improves. I think the farming community must be quite distressed with this weather at this time, especially those involved in lambing. It's not good. So we do hope and pray that the weather will improve. But that's articles for the summer edition of The Parishioner, and these can be left in the McMichael Chapel or emailed to the address on the intimation sheet. Following the benediction today, we'll sing as our doxology hymn 810, and you'll find the words of the doxology on the reverse of the order of service. But with a wee while to go before we come to that. So we're going to continue to celebrate the resurrection by singing hymn 433, and Tony's going to play a full introduction. Haven't you heard that Jesus is risen?
The readings this morning are taken from Psalm 30, the whole of Psalm 30, and John chapter 21, verses 1 to 14, and you'll find these on page 466 and page 99 of the Pew Bible. Psalm 30 and John chapter 21, verses 1 to 14. I shall exalt you, Lord, and you have lifted me up, and have not let my enemies be jubilant over me. Lord, my God, I cried to you, and you healed me. You have brought me up, Lord, from Sheol, and saved my life as I was sinking into the abyss. Sing a psalm to the Lord, all you his loyal servants. Give thanks to his holy name. In his anger is distress, in his favour there is life. Tears may linger at nightfall, but rejoicing comes in the morning. I felt secure and said, I can never be shaken. Lord, by your favour you have made my mountain strong. When you hid your face, I was struck with dismay. To you, Lord, I called and pleaded with you for mercy. What profit is there in my death, in my growing down to the pit? Can the dust praise you? Can it proclaim your truth? Hear, Lord, and be gracious to me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned my laments into dancing. You have stripped off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that I may sing psalms to you without ceasing. Lord, my God, I shall praise you forever. And the second reading is on page 99 of the Pew Bible. Sometime later, Jesus showed himself to his disciples once again by the Sea of Tiberias. This is how it happened. Simon Peter was with Thomas the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. I am going out fishing, said Simon Peter. I will go with you, said the others. So they set off and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Morning came, and Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. He called out to them, Friends, have you caught anything? No, they answered. He said, Throw out the net to the starboard and you will make a catch. So they did, and they found they could not haul the net on board, there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, It is the Lord, he fastened his coat about him, for he had stripped and plunged into the sea. The rest of them came on in the boat, towing the net full of fish. They were only about 100 yards from the land. When they came ashore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish laid on it and some bread. Jesus said, Bring some of the fish you have caught. Simon Peter went on board and hauled the net to land. It was full of big fish, 153 in all, and yet, many as there were, the net was not torn. Jesus said, Come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared to ask, Who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and the fish in the same way. This makes the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection from the dead. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Callum. Lord, you have come to the seashore, hymn 532.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, at breakfast by the seashore, you rekindled the faith of the disciples, and hope was born again. Rekindle the faith of all who struggle with the strains and stresses of everyday life, and give hope to those who are in despair. Gracious God, in the safety of familiar company, you restored Peter in your service. Forgive our faltering steps, and give us the ability to follow you, not only in times that are good, but also when life can be hard going. Loving God, in light of the aerial attack by Iran on Israel, we pray anew for the peace of the world, for an end to conflict, and for that day when all people will look to you and be reconciled to one another. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the way in which you bring together the most unlikely of individuals from different cultures and backgrounds and with different gifts to become your church. Strengthen our witness in the communities where we live and within this parish, and enable us to be steadfast in our devotion to you and true to our calling. Transforming God, help us to recognize that from the smallest of beginnings, you can bring the greatest of results. So bless all who, in challenging situations, seek to help those who are hungry or homeless, those who speak truth to power, and all who endeavor to create a society where all have access to health care and opportunities for education. Gracious God, as we pray for our families and friends, we pray too for those in need of your healing touch, for those hurting in mind, body, or spirit, for those in hospital awaiting surgery or tests. And we pray for those who mourn. As a congregation, we remember the families and friends of Tommy Tullock, Jean Carroll, and Jesse Rennie. And we continue to remember the families and friends of Kyle Marshall and Jaden McConnell. Be to them and to all who grieve the passing of a loved one a source of comfort, a reassurance, and peace. Loving God, the psalmist declared, "Tears may linger at nightfall, but rejoicing comes in the morning." Inspire us with the knowledge that you are always with us and that your kingdom will come. And may all that we think and say and do be pleasing to you, the Father of peace and God of love. In Jesus' name we humbly ask these things. Amen. We sing paraphrase 60, found at hymn 272, 272. Father of peace and God of love, we own your power to save.
Thank you.
What do you do to relax? According to a recent survey, some people go for a walk. I like that idea. Some read a book. I like that idea. Some take a bath. I like that idea, but I've noted one for years. I hasten to add, I do have a shower every day. Some listen to music. I like that idea. Some go to a gym. Not so sure about that one. Some go out for a meal. Yes, please. And some, the survey said, find gardening helps them relax. And I think there's truth in that. I imagine a lot depends on an individual's temperament. Some people genuinely find it difficult to relax. They feel they've always got to be doing something, and if they take it easy, then they feel guilty about that. But other people are able to make time to relax on a regular basis. I find it very interesting that following Jesus' resurrection and appearance to the disciples, they returned to Galilee and were told that some of them went fishing. Was that, I wonder, their way of relaxing after the roller coaster of emotions they had recently experienced? Physical exhaustion is one thing, but emotional exhaustion is something else. And in many respects, it can be more difficult to deal with. So did the disciples think that by going fishing, they would be able to relax? That by doing something that was familiar to at least four of them, they would be able to unwind, recharge their batteries, and make some sort of sense out of all that had happened to Jesus, and indeed to them? Psychologists and others tell us it's important for our well-being that we find time to do something that gives us space to think, and that makes us better able to cope with the demands of life. I think Jesus worked that one out more than 2,000 years ago. As we read the Gospels, we're told that often he would withdraw to a quiet place, a place where he could simply be, a place where he could commune with God and draw strength for the great work he had been sent to do. In today's Psalm, Psalm 30, we see something of the ebb and flow of the life of faith, something that the disciples had experienced and which I imagine many of us will have experienced too. It's not all about high and holy days. It's not all about the joys of Christmas and Easter or Pentecost. It's also about the low and the ordinary days when the mundane is very much the common, the norm, where good or bad things can happen and our emotions fluctuate as a result. As one reads this particular psalm, you get the impression that the psalmist had experienced some dark and difficult times, and he's not afraid to let that be known. And that's important. He gives voice to the depths of despair to which his spirit had plummeted. And that honesty, many have found helpful to this day. But then he writes these wonderful words. Tears may linger at nightfall, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Tears may linger at nightfall, but rejoicing comes in the morning. For many people today, weeping is a reality. And we know that the world is not as it should be. For daily we hear things that make us wonder. Think, for example, of that terrible stabbing in the shopping centre in Sydney yesterday. Wasn't that absolutely horrific? And many, of course, woke up today to the news of the attack by Iran on Israel. These are only two of many examples that sadly we can think of that confirms to us that the world is far from being the world that God created it to be. And so, in the long dark hours of the night, we can wonder how long will such things go on. And we can ask, as sometimes we ask of the rain, will it ever end? The psalmist speaks of his despair, but he also speaks to us of hope. And his words make it clear that sickness and sorrow will not have the last word, and that badness, in whatever form it reveals itself, will not ultimately prevail. Hear these words: you have turned my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. The darkness will pass. And of this we can be sure, God's goodness will break through like the morning light, giving us great joy. The morning, there's something special about the morning. It was in the morning that the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ was found to be empty. And it was in the morning that the disciples, having fished all night without success, saw a stranger on the shore who told them to cast their net on the other side, which they did. And what a catch they had. No guessing what they had that morning for breakfast. We're told it was fish. But they didn't have to cook it themselves. The stranger, whom they now knew to be Jesus, cooked it for them. Isn't that wonderful? I think it's intriguing when you think that here the disciples were back in the very place where they had first encountered Jesus. They were back in that same place together with the Master again, and in the peace and quiet of the morning, their faith was revived and their hope rekindled. There's something about the disciples' experience that I find illuminating. They were doing something quite ordinary, fishing. And when least expected, they encountered the risen Lord. Is that not how it can be for us, for you and for me and for others today? We may have our mountaintop experiences, times when we know beyond any doubt that God is close at hand. And there are those who, like St. Paul, have their own Damascus Road experience. People whose lives are suddenly transformed through an encounter with the living Christ. And how uplifting it can be to listen to such people's testimonies. But there are also those of us who don't have such dramatic experiences. Instead, we are like a ship out at sea, gently changing course as we become more aware of God and are moulded through the Holy Spirit into the people He would have us be. It's interesting that Professor William Barclay said, "We are not to think of the catch of fish that the disciples had as a miracle." It was, it would seem, something that happened regularly upon the Sea of Galilee, where a person on the shore, seeing where a shoal of fish was, would often act as a guide to those who were not far from the shore in their boat fishing. But Professor Barclay did say that given everything in John's Gospel is meaningful, there is significance in the fact John tells us there were 153 fish in the net. There are different possible explanations as to why John is so specific about the number of fish. But being one who endeavours to keep things simple, I side with those who maintain it was to emphasise the large number of fish caught, and that in itself pointed to the future mission of the disciples and of the church, when instead of catching fish, they would, with success, win people for Christ. I find it significant that despite a fruitless night and the disciples being tired, confused and weary, they listened to the stranger on the shore and did as he told them to do. Now remember, at least four of these disciples were fishermen, experienced in their trade. One would have understood if, on being told by the stranger on the shore to cast their net on the other side, they had said, "No chance. We've tried. We've done enough. We're calling it a night. We're going home." But no, no. Despite being tired, confused and weary, they listened. They cast their net on the other side. Though they had laboured through the dark hours of the night in vain, they were willing, in the morning light, to try again. And they were not disappointed. As I reflected on this, I found myself thinking about the church and the Church of Scotland at this time of challenge and change. Because isn't it true that there are many within the church today who are like the disciples were in the Sea of Galilee? There are many within the church today who are tired, confused and weary as they hear of the decline in the number of ministers, dwindling congregations and the closure of much-loved church buildings. And I get that. I really do. But might it be that Jesus is calling us, his people, today to cast our net on the other side? Might he be saying, the time has come to try something new, something different, that will enable us to connect better with people, people who increasingly are questioning the church's relevance and place today? The disciples did as Jesus asked. The question is, will we? I would like to finish with these words. That morning on the Sea of Galilee, something extraordinary happened. And it happened because someone extraordinary was there. Jesus is with us. The same could happen again. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. A reminder that following the benediction, we'll sing the doxology, hymn 810. The words are on the reverse of the order of service. But before that, we sing as our closing hymn, hymn 512. 512, to God be the glory, great things he has done.
Thank you.
Tears may linger at nightfall, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Go in peace, and the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you, now and forevermore.